this Sunday, which means all the kids can come to the front. You can sit right around here since it is the fifth Sunday. Today is a fun day. We are all talking about our testimonies. Does anyone know what the word testimony means? You're sitting way over there. All right. Anyone know what the word testimony is? No? No? It's like a story about how God can show up in our lives. I know sometimes it's a little scary. You're doing great. Good job. Awesome. Perfect. Right. So today I'm telling you a little bit about my story. Is that cool with all of you guys? How many of you guys like stories? Perfect. Only half of you. Some of you are too shy. You're like, I like stories, but I don't want to say I like stories. That's okay. All right. So my story starts off a very, very, very long time ago. Right. How many of you guys are 6 years old? How many are younger than 6 years old? How many of you are older than 6 years old? Okay, well, it happened a long, farther away ago than that, right? It happened 20-some years ago, okay? But before I was born, we had my parents had a little bit of a scare. Everyone make a scare face. What do you make? What does your face look like when you're scared? Surprise, all right? Very nice, nice, yeah. So my parents were pregnant with me, and they went to a doctor's appointment, and the doctor had some really sad news for them. I know, that was a very shocked expression. I like that. Yeah, right? The doctor told them that I was not alive anymore. Yeah. Yeah, they told them, they're like, we're sorry, but she's not alive anymore. But my parents, even after hearing the terrible news of that, they decided they were going to go home and they were going to pray about it. Because they did something that some people don't do, and they trusted God. And they said, you know what, we're going to go home. And so they left the doctor's office, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and my parents chose to trust God. And then they had to come back a week later, and what do you guys think happened? Do you think it was good news or bad news? Miles, what do you think? Good news? Yeah. So the doctor told them that I was alive. I had a strong heartbeat, and everything was working great, and that they had a baby that was strong and healthy. So there's this kind of this crazy story, and that's part of my story. And when I was old enough to learn about that story, I believe that God had put me on this earth for a very special reason. But even if you don't have a story like mine, God has a special reason that all of you are here. Remember how in Kids Church we've been talking about creation and how God is in control of everything? He's got a reason for everything. He's super creative, right? He made each and every one of you for a very, very special reason, right? And I'm a lot older than you, so I can tell you a couple of special reasons that I know so far why God has put me here, right? But the most important part of this is that we have to choose to trust God. So everyone say, trust God. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, you have to trust God. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you have to trust God. Great. Yeah, we got to trust God. So one of the very special reasons, I actually happened right in this church. Okay, if everyone knows, there's a back door over in this corner by the sound booth. Okay, now Bethel over here. You were here. I thought you were over here. Right here. Bethel was my buddy when I was in high school. Okay. Bethel was attached to my side. She went with me everywhere in this church. Okay. So I left church on Sunday to go get Bethel out of nursery because that's where she was because she was so tiny. Yeah. But God said something really cool. No, just stay there. Okay. I walked out of that door about three steps and God spoke out loud to me. That was the only time I have ever heard God speak out loud. Okay, you guys want to know what he said? Okay, he said, Maya, they can't find the right kids pastor because it's you. Okay, I was in high school at the time. Okay, can't be a kids pastor when you're still in high school. You can teach other kids about God, right? So I had to choose to trust God, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, trust God. Trust God. Okay, at the time they had a kids pastor that was working here. Okay, then I graduated and I went on a missions trip to somewhere called Haiti. Everyone say Haiti. Okay, in Haiti, God called me again to be a kids pastor. He made it even more clear in my heart. He's like, hey, you got to go be a kids pastor. So I did that, right? I was even more set that that's what's going to happen. So I went to college in a small little baby town in North Dakota called Ellendale, right? And I was learning about God. And then the kids pastor that was a kids pastor here, he left, okay? And then they started interviewing for people, and they hired another kids pastor, which all of you guys probably know her name. Yes, yeah, you do know her name, right? Okay, and she was here for many, many years, and then she left, right? But God was telling me, you know what, Maya, it's not quite time yet. So I had to choose to what? What's the word? Trust God. You had to choose to trust God, right? He said, it's not quite time yet. So I was like, okay, God, I'll go do something else for a little bit. So I taught, and I was another teacher for another year. I taught third grade. And then God started warming my heart up. So turn to your neighbor and give him a high five. Awesome. Turn to your other neighbor and give him a fist bump. Great. Right? I had to choose to trust God. And he started warming my heart up, just kind of like you probably warmed your neighbor's hand up a little bit by giving him a fist bump, giving him a high five. Okay? And then, guess what? God told me, all right, Maya, it is time to move home and be a kids pastor. And guess what I did? Did I do that? Yeah, I became the kids pastor. You're right. Yeah, I'm right here. So that's part of my testimony. And part of a lot of my story is learning how to trust God. So one more time, I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them in whispering voices, trust God. Okay, turn to your other neighbor and say, you can do it. All right. So you guys can go find your seat. Remember, we got to trust God when things are going crazy in our life. We have to choose to trust God no matter what.
There was a sheet of paper up here, but now it's over there. There it is. It's got a little verse on there I wanted to share with you. You know, normally I come up here and we start bouncing around right away, and we go right into our game time. We're going to do that after I kind of give you this, like, weighty part of my testimony, my story. We're going to have some fun. That's what we do here on Family Service. So I wanted to share a part of my story that I have shared before here in church, but I realized it's been a long time. I've been at this church for like, I don't know, it's like 12 years, somewhere in there. Yeah, I don't even know how many years it's been, but I shared my testimony, and I feel like it's been a long time. And there's a lot of faces in this church from a lot of people that I'm like, I don't even know these people anymore. There's different people here. And so I wanted to share a part of my story that was right after I had gotten married, right? This is supposed to be like the best time of your life, the best time of your life. I was so thankful to marry Lynn, my wife. That's her right there. Hey, honey. But it ended up being one of the hardest seasons of my life. At this point, I was following Jesus. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, all of those things. And we had just finished up at Itasca Community College, and we were going to be going to Bemidji to go to school there and finish up our bachelor's degrees. And as we moved there, newlywed, like I said, we were both coming back and forth, working a lot. You know, I was running my own little carpentry business type of thing too. And in that season, I was hit with anxiety. I'd never experienced anxiety myself. My older brother had talked a lot about anxiety, and I was always like, yeah, what's the deal with that? Like, just think differently. And how many of you have probably said that to a friend, and you thought you were being helpful and being nice? Just change the way you think. Like, it's not complicated. Just think differently. And that's kind of the advice I'd give to my older brother as he was walking through some anxiety and depression. And those things kind of go hand in hand a lot of times because you're worn out with these racing thoughts and these overwhelming feelings. And that oftentimes does lead to feelings of hopelessness and depression. And so they go hand in hand. And at that point, my understanding of it was like, just think differently. And like I said, as I moved out to Bemidji State, actually, it was a little before we had moved out to Bemidji State. One night, I was laying in bed, and my heart just began to race, and I started to feel just not right. And my friend was there, and I sat up, and I was like, "Hey, I don't know what's going on." I was living at home at the time. This was actually before we had gotten married, and so I went upstairs. I told my parents like something's wrong, and I ended up going to the ER that night, thinking I was dying. I thought there was something really wrong, and I go to the hospital. They run all these tests, and they put EKGs on and all this stuff, and I realize, like, they're like, yeah, nothing's wrong with you. And you're like, oh, great. So what is wrong with me? Like, what is the problem? And from that point on, I realized that that was kind of this start, this journey of a battle with anxiety, which is really just a battle of the mind, right? Your thoughts consume, like, these thoughts of, like, for me, it was centered a lot of times around these thoughts of, like, I was either going to die or I thought I was going to lose my mind, these types of things. That's where I really felt like I was heading. And I remember, like, there was nights where I couldn't sleep. I was up all night. You know, poor Lynn, my wife, we're newly, at this point, fast forward, we're in Bemidji, we're newlyweds, and it's like, I'm just falling apart. I'm just a mess. I had hit just like this low, low, low point in my life where I was like, I don't know, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of this. I felt super overwhelmed and hopeless. And I really just did what I hope any of us do, is like Maya just had said, is I tried to just trust God through it all. And it is not easy when you're walking through that stuff, when you're experiencing those feelings. It's tough, right? It's not easy. But there was this challenge, this call to just keep trusting God. And I don't know, when you find yourself in those hard spots in life, and maybe it's not anxiety, maybe it's not depression, maybe it's something else, but like, it was just like, God, I can't do this on my own. And some of you have been in spots in your life where that's the feelings you had, like, I don't know how to do this. And so I cried out to God with just the most desperate, sincere prayers. Like, God, I need you in my life. And I'd love to say that it was this like immediate, like all of a sudden all anxiety, all of that stuff went away, but it wasn't. It was a process. It was a process of learning just to trust God, just praying these thoughts of, God, just help me to renew my mind, to renew my thoughts today. And slowly as I began to trust, right, and I just began to just keep praying to God, like over time, and having these people in my life, these support systems in my life, like suddenly you start to make a little progress. You start to have a couple wins. You start to sleep at night. And all of a sudden you start to regain the confidence to do life again. And I really feel like God was in that season, was shaping me and molding me and preparing me. And there was a verse that we actually, we had it printed on vinyl, and it was across our, like, an opening in our house, or a doorway here. And I found a lot of comfort in this verse, and knowing, like, this is sometimes why we walk through these hard things. This is why we walk through these challenges. Because if we're willing to trust God as we walk through these things, there's an opportunity to grow. I'm a cross-country runner. We used to be. I'm kind of a coach / runner a little bit now. And one thing I've learned is, like, it's hard. Like, the races are hard. The training is hard. You suffer as you run, and you're doing these things. You're suffering. There's this part where you're breaking down. But if you just keep going, like, you realize that you can make it. And here's the verse I want to share with you. It's in Romans chapter 5. It's verses 3-5. It says, we can rejoice. This is Paul writing. He says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance helps to develop strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And I think as I was walking through that, and I began to start to come through this anxiety, and again, it hasn't gone away, but it loses its grip in your life as you begin to trust God, and as you begin to have some of these wins, these victories, you start to sleep a little bit more, you start to sleep a little bit longer through the night, and you survive these things that you thought you couldn't survive. Like, you're like, this is something different, something new, I can't do this, and you walk through it. And as you begin to do that, all of a sudden you realize what God, you can look back now and say, man, God was with me through that whole thing. It wasn't easy. I wouldn't wish it upon anybody. Anybody who's walked through anxiety, depression, you wouldn't wish it upon anybody. But as I walked through that, I realized that God was growing me. God was growing me. He was preparing me. There's so many things that I wouldn't be able to do. I wouldn't have been able to do. But as I was walking through these challenges and these hard things, God was developing this endurance in me. He was developing this character, right? And ultimately, he's strengthening my faith and my hope in him. And so through it all, like through all of that season of just darkness and these, like, just again, sleepless nights and just feeling terrible and feeling like things were spiraling out of control, I was finding hope in Jesus. I was finding peace in Jesus. There was ups and downs. One of the things they asked us, like one of the things somebody recommended was journal, right? Write stuff down as you go through it. And then with anxiety, it's this, like, it's all bad. But when I look back on some of the things I wrote down, I was like, okay, there was, God, yes, you were there. There was a victory there. I survived that night that I didn't think I was going to make it through that night. Oh, okay, God, yes, there was a victory there. And like Maya just kept coming back to, it's like, it was learning to trust God. It was learning, like, there's things that I can control and there are things that I can't control. And learning just to surrender my life and say, God, this is out of my control. This is too big for me, but I give it to you. And it's been a process, and I can stand up here today and say, like, I've grown. I've moved forward. And I can actually look back now and say, I'm thankful for the suffering. I'm thankful for the trial, because I really do think it's helped to grow me. And there's been so many times now where I've been able to walk alongside somebody else who is struggling with anxiety, depression, and say, you know what, I understand. If you haven't walked through, you're like, just think differently, right? That was my mentality. But I'm able to walk alongside of other people and help them to see that there is hope in Jesus. And so I just wanted to share that part of my story where I needed God in my life to show up. And he did. He was there with me the whole time. It was just a matter of learning to trust him. And I would tell you, a big part of that healing too is God uses the church. He's going to use people. He wants to use people to be a part of other people's healing, to be a part of other people getting through those hard things. It's about leaning into people. And I had to humble myself during that time, because usually I was like, I'm not going to burden anybody with my problems or any of the things that I was walking through. And I had to in that season. I couldn't do it on my own. I had to lean into God, and I had to lean into people that were around me. I had to lean into them and say, I need people in my life right now. Lots of nights, Lynn was with me as I was like freaking out and just mentally a mess. Lots of nights, I would talk to my sister or my brother or my brother-in-law or my mom, my dad. Lots of nights, there was conversations I'd have with my friends. And I had to lean in that season. And that was a humbling thing, right? Because we're proud people. We don't want to admit that we have problems. We don't want to admit that we struggle. And oftentimes I believe that's how God wants to bring healing into your life and into your situation, is by us opening those conversations with people and being willing to share what's going on and having to lean into people. So I know that was a little heavier of a testimony, but if that's you in this place and you're walking through a struggle, you're walking through a hardship, talk to somebody. You know, find somebody, people to pray with you, people that will listen to those conversations. There is hope. His name is Jesus, and he wants to use the church. All right?
It's a little interesting. As we've been going through this, we've been talking about sharing our stories today, and I just want to encourage you. I truly believe, I had two conversations about this actually this week with different people. I truly believe every Christian needs to be ready to share their story. We need to be ready to share our story when it comes up, when people are ready, are asking us questions. You know, I know a lot of people are worried about sharing their faith, and they're a little worried about those kind of things because they're not sure they can answer all the questions. You know, they're not sure if they're ready to be able to answer someone's question, which, first of all, you don't have to have all the answers. Right? You know, one of the things that I love telling people when they ask me a question I don't know, it's not making something up. It's, I don't know, but I'll try my best to find that answer. That's okay to say to people. But you know, one thing that's really, really important about your story is people can argue with your theology all day long. They can argue all day about your theology, but nobody can argue with your story. Nobody can argue with, this is who I was, this is how Jesus entered my story, and this is the result, right? No, nobody can argue with that. And I know sometimes you hear people tell a story and they share their story and it's like, oh, my story isn't like that. I've heard people say, I don't have a testimony. You know, like, you have a story. If your story doesn't start with all the bad stuff, if it starts with, I was basically born in a church pew on a Sunday morning and have never missed one, think about all of the things God saved you from. It's a story people need to hear. It's a story people need to hear. And one of the things that happens so often is we spend so much time talking about who we were that the whole like God part and who I am part of our story gets like 30 seconds. And can I tell you, when you share your story, it should be about God, not just about you. Right? Like obviously it's your story. But we need to make sure people hear the Jesus in our story. And it's so important for us to do that. It's so important. And I'm not going to share, I don't have time to share the whole story today. Some of you have heard me share parts of my story. I've got lots of different parts of a story, just like you have lots of different parts of a story. And it was actually kind of hard for me this morning or this week leading up to this to decide what part of my story I wanted to share. But I loved how Maya talked about how we trust in God through life. I knew John was going to share about trusting in God through the middle of anxiety. And I just really wanted to make sure that one of us shared our salvation story. And there's so much I'm not going to go into detail about this morning, but I want you to know my life started in a very traditional Christian home. Right? Not in a traditional way. My mom was a pastor's kid. My dad grew up in a Christian home. But as they started dating in high school, they did what so many high schoolers who date do and made a few mistakes physically. And I was born. My mom was 17. My dad was 18. It's just kind of one of those things that happen. I'm so grateful my mom chose life. She was a 17-year-old pastor's kid in a real small town. And when I say real small town, I don't mean real small town like Grand Rapids is a small town. I mean like a town of 300 or 400 people called Ashley, North Dakota. Right? Where people from Streeter, North Dakota, a town of like 300 people, came to do their shopping. We're talking like small middle America towns, and she was a pastor's kid and everybody knew what she did, right? How many of you in this room have ever sinned? Every hand should be up. Okay. If not, you're a liar. So you just sinned. How many of you have ever had to publicly walk? I'm not asking for your hands to be raised right now, but how many of you for 9 months have had to publicly walk your shame in front of your whole town? So everybody could see your sin and everybody could see your mistake and everybody could do all of those kind of things, right? Like it was not an easy time for them. It was not an easy time for my grandparents. It wasn't an easy time for any of those things. And my parents decided to get married. They had 3 more kids along the way, and my mom went off the rails. She started having affairs. She got addicted to all kinds of things out there. My parents were divorced when I was a young age. My childhood started like a normal Christian childhood, but things came off the rails. And because of abuse and because of addiction and those kind of things happened in my story that I'm not going to share about this morning with all the kids in here, but just stuff went sideways. And it was rough and it was difficult. And through the middle of all of that stuff, my mom had been my spiritual hero. My mom had been the one that I looked to as the person who I just thought that's what a Christian should be like. And when she messed up like that, it messed up my faith and it messed up my life so bad to the point where I didn't even believe in God. And I thought, if God is real, that is a thing that I never want to be around. I was so full of anger and bitterness and hurt as a result of so many of these things. And I don't want to just blame my mom. I made decisions. I did things along the way that just kind of furthered that anger in my life. And there were just so many struggles along the way. One of the things that it did is I did not trust people. I did not trust women in particular. That was something that I dealt with later on. I'm so grateful later on my dad remarried a wonderful lady and she helped restore some of that. I married an incredible lady who's homesick right now she just wouldn't put up with that. There were so many things along the way that were so important. But where I met God, Where I met Jesus, I got tricked into going to a Bible camp, and I some of you have told me this, or have heard me share this before. all I had heard about this camp, I mean, I knew it was the church, right? So I knew there would be some Christian stuff there. Like I knew that there would be some church services and stuff, but all I heard about was sports and girls. And to me, a co-ed sports camp sounded awesome. I had been to sports camps, but never a co-ed one. And I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. And so I'm like, I can sit through some church services to go to a co-ed sports camp. And so I get there, and then I found out it's not a co-ed sports camp. It's a Bible camp. And we're going to be in church three times a day for like 2 or 3 hours a time, you know what I mean? And like for 45 minutes in the middle of the day, there's going to be some rec time that's co-ed. Rough. So I sat there, and I was that kid that sat in the very back of the service, angry at the world, feeling tricked, feeling betrayed, mad. And I'm watching God do incredible things in these services, but none of it's real to me. It all seems fake. It all seems put on. And eventually, there's this big thing that goes down, but this speaker starts calling out my story. He starts sharing details that he had no business knowing. And again, at that point in time, because I didn't believe in God, I didn't think that was the miraculous. I just thought my youth pastor, the guy that I went with, had just told him all my family's business. It didn't seem miraculous. It seemed invasive at the time. And eventually, I was drug up to an altar, and I mean, I'm not exaggerating, literally drug against my will to an altar. And can I just tell you again, I don't recommend this as an evangelism strategy. Don't trick people into going to a co-ed sports camp that's actually Bible camp. Don't drag people to the altar physically. But for me, in my stubbornness, it's what had to happen. And I remember sitting up in that spot, and I could walk you to the spot in Glacier Bible Camp in Montana. It's a little town called Hungry Horse. I could walk you to that chapel today, and I could walk you to the exact spot where I was up at that altar against my will. And I remember saying to God, you've got 5 minutes or I'm done forever. That's it. That's where I came to. That was the point that I came to with God. You have 5 minutes or I'm done forever. And I remember sitting in that spot, and I remember the overwhelming peace of Jesus resting on my life that morning. And can I tell you, for an angry, frustrated, feeling lied to, feeling betrayed by friends who pulled me up to the altar, there was no peace in my life. Peace was completely foreign. And then there was Jesus. There he was, full of peace, full of hope, full of forgiveness. And can I tell you, I wish I had one of those stories that was like, and from that point on, I never doubted again. That wouldn't be lying. I struggled still. I gave my life to Jesus that day. I did, but it started a journey to be more like him. I still had to deal with anger. I still had to deal with betrayal. I still had to deal with issues with ladies. I had to find forgiveness for the people in my life who had hurt me. It was a long, long journey, but can I tell you, it started right at that moment finding Jesus. And he has been with me every step of the way since. Again, if you want to hear more about this sometime, I'm happy to share. I talk too much all the time anyway. But I want you to know that day was a day, it was a turning point day for me. And I want you to hear from me today as we close this time down, as we get ready to end. I just want to encourage you, if you're in here today and you feel like trusting God has been a difficult thing in your season, whatever your story is lately, I want to encourage you to take some time and pray that out. If you're in this place and you are struggling with your mental health this morning, you're feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling anxious, depressed, you're struggling with those things, talk to Jesus. Talk to somebody else today. Talk to somebody. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, Or maybe you know all about Jesus, but you don't want anything to do with him. I want to encourage you today. He sees you. I want to read a portion or a verse of scripture. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I don't talk about this one as much, but this one was such a big deal to me when I saw it. Hagar is a lady we don't preach about very often. As a matter of fact, most of you probably might not even know that is in that she is in the Bible. You might have Hagar the Horrible from the comic strip stuck in your head right now. But Hagar is a lady that was in there, and she was the maid of Sarah, Abraham and Sarah, right? And God had promised Abraham that he was going to be the father of a nation, and he had promised all of these things, but they battled with infertility, and I only laugh because it's crazy how long it was, how they could possibly maintain hope for that long. But they had battled infertility for decades, and finally, Sarah gives her maid to her husband and is like, hey, this is not going to happen through me. Take my maid. And Hagar has a child, and his name is Ishmael. And can I tell you, those two really didn't do anything wrong. They were just kind of stuck in the middle of a story. But God wanted to make sure that that line came through Abraham and Sarah. And so once Sarah becomes pregnant, she gets jealous, and she starts kicking Hagar out of the camp. And I want you to understand, in this part of this story, even though she is being treated horribly unfairly, God sees her. She didn't really do anything wrong, and she's being pushed out of the camp. And in that moment, God sends his angel down to her and has a conversation with her and tells her how blessed she's going to be, how blessed her son is going to be, how those kind of things are going to happen. And there's this verse in here in verse 13, and it says, it's right at the end of this story, and it says, thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. I love that verse. She was being driven out of the camp. She was going through things that weren't really her fault. She was being treated unfairly. And yet she knew that God was the God who sees her. And I just want you to understand in this place, if you're in one of those seasons where you feel like, man, where is God in this? I want you to know this morning, he sees you. He sees you. And he is enough. He is enough. All right, so here's how we're going to do. I'm going to pray, but this is kind of a cool time, right? So if you've got your kids or grandkids in here, I would encourage you to pull them to you for just a few moments at the end of this service and just pray as a family. Maybe over one of these things. Maybe it has nothing to do with what we talked about, but I would encourage you to pray with your family. If you're here and your family isn't here, you're here all by yourself today, go find a friend and pray with them. Right? I just want to encourage you in this place. If you need to go, you can go. We want to see you back at 6. Like Dale said, we've got fish ready to go. We got barbecue stuff ready to go. Bring a salad. Bring a dessert. If it's all salads, we're going to have main course and salad. If it's all dessert, we're going to have main course and dessert. Come ready to hang out. We're going to be meeting back there. There's going to be the dunk tank. I'm going to be in it. So are some of you, you know. We're just going to celebrate because it's incredible what happened as we're building here. But I don't want to so get focused on those kind of things that we don't take time to talk to Jesus this morning. So I just want to encourage you. If you're in here, you got some kids in here, pray with your kids. You got your spouse in here, pray with your spouse. You got your friends in here, pray with your friends. But let's make sure that we have time to talk to Jesus this morning. All right, if you need to go, please feel free to go. I would just ask that you keep your chat out in the foyer. All right, so that people that want to stay in here and pray can stay in here and pray. All right, my kids, eyes on me. You're going to come up here. All right? Jesus, you're good. I thank you for who you are. I thank you, God, that you are a God who can be trusted, that you're a God who does the miracles in our lives from the womb. You're a God who speaks to us. You're a God who walks with us through trials and struggles. You're a God that's bigger than mental illness. And you're a God that sees us even when we're not looking for you. Speak to us. Grow in us. Help us to walk closer to you every day. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Have a great Sunday, everybody.